coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
Yippee-ki-yay! Here we come to you live from our top-secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52. This is Pastor Mike, and I am online, and I am live, and this is the talk show that hell hates. And the more you listen, the more you know why. Compelling you always to think Bible. Think Bible. Open the Word of God. Read it. You spend endless hours watching YouTube videos, scanning Facebook. Oh, let's see what gossip there is. Let's see what this guy's saying about this girl over here. Let's read this guy's curse words or this gal's dirty potty mouth. Don't get me started. Anyway, good to be with you today. I love this hat, by the way. I love this hat. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know if we can get them done before Prophecy Roadshow next week or not. But boy, they would be nice, wouldn't they? Think Bible on the front, BethelChurchMo.com across the back. That's what it says. I'm going to wear this just for a little bit and before I start prophesying. And you know what my definition of the prophesying is, the Bible definition of prophesying. Son of man, prophesy unto these people and say unto them, thus saith the Lord. That's prophesying. I'm going to prophesy today. I'm going to give you scripture. It's sort of a continuation of what we were on Tuesday. I just feel like getting more and more and more scripture out. I'm pumped today. And I just feel compelled to do that from some things that I heard this morning. Michael came back from Kenya, from the camel lands of Samburu, and from the dry, arid, drought-ridden desert of Turkana, Kenya. Came back with a report of our radio stations and what they're doing. He got the link fixed. We had a problem in Turkana, and he got that fixed, and that seems to be working well. And the politics in Kenya right now, actually, believe it or not, they're worse than American politics, in that their elections were a mess. And it seems like the corrupt, some of the corrupt politicians in Kenya didn't like the outcome of the election, so they overturned it. And now they're supposed to have another election in November. Michael seems to think that that may not happen because of how corrupt things are there. There are good politicians in Kenya. Don't get me wrong. But there are evil, wicked, loving, filthy, lucre politicians in Kenya. I don't personally know which ones are and which ones aren't. But I know they're there. They're in America. And I know that they are in Kenya. And if you're a politician in Kenya and you're listening to my voice right now, cut it out. Quit taking bribes. Quit stealing money for your own gain, for your own pocket. Politicians will take money that was given to them by the United States or the United Nations or whatever that was to go for new sewers or new roads or food for people to so they could survive another day. And you're like Kim Jong-un You took the money, you laundered it, you stuck it in your pocket while your people starve. While they literally live in and around their own sewage, because that money was supposed to go for sewage treatment, and you decided that your people can live in filth while you live in luxury. Cut it out. You're an embarrassment to the people of Kenya. Can I get some people in Kenya to say amen? Buena Safiwe. All right. Anyway, because I know they're listening in Kenya. The radio format over there is they will play a sermon or a Pastor Mike Online or a Watchman broadcast. And then after that's done, the radio commentator will come on and will take phone calls from people in the community who are commenting on some of the things I said. And it just is, it's unreal. The impact that this program, this ministry is having in the hearts and minds. We've got Kenyans asking for King James Bibles. That's what I want. That's what I care about. That's where my heart is. If we could get the pure, true, unadulterated, inerrant Word of God into the hearts and minds of the people in Samburu, in Turkana, then there is no doubt that revival will take place in those areas. There is no doubt that people will be saved. There is no doubt in my mind that our enemies are going to fight against us, and they are. Two primary enemies that our radio stations have in the counties that they're in. Number one, the Muslim communities. There are certain villages and towns within the listening area of our radio station in Samburu County. Terrorists are coming down to our radio station office, not to terrorize, to talk to the staff there about the Mzungu who is preaching things that they have never heard in their life, and they want more of it. They want Bibles. Terrorists want Bibles. And some of the Muslim communities up there hate us because we're preaching the gospel. We are sharing the Word of God. And it's not me. It is the Bible coming out of my face that is impacting these people's lives. Then we have, guess who? Old Babylon herself, the Roman harlot church, the Vatican. You see, I know they're listening. And I'll say it again. The harlot church of Rome, Mystery Babylon, the Vatican, the mother of little Vaticans and abominations of the earth, they hate our guts. Roman Catholic priests will come to our radio station office in Turkana. You see, the Catholic Church has a stronghold in Turkana. They were there years ago trying to establish churches, trying to turn these people into idol worshipers, trying to turn these people into adoring Mary, who has absolutely nothing to do with your salvation. It was not Mary's blood. Mary is not the Son of God. She is not the spotless lamb that was slain for the sins of mankind. She has absolutely nothing to do with your salvation. All she did was give birth to the Son of God. She is not the mother of God. She is the mother of the earthly body of Jesus Christ. She does not, especially her statue. Her statue cannot save you. Her statue does not hear your prayers. Her statue does not weep for the problems that you have. Her statue does not comfort you when your child died of starvation. Listen to me, people. The Vatican, that Catholic priest, is lying through his teeth. He tells you that he wants you to worship God, and yet he compels you to worship God in a way that violates the second commandment. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven. I've got a copy of the catechism of the Catholic Church. Where is it? There it is. Hang on a second. And it says, it'd be hard-pressed to find the page. Sacrament of baptism. Child baptism. Who came up with that lie? Listen, your babies do not have faith in Jesus Christ. You know, listen, I'll tell you, you get a King James Bible, people, and an Acts chapter. Boy, here I am. I better take my hat off. I'm getting fired up now. Think Bible, by the way. In Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch was in the chariot, and Philip jumped in there with him. And the eunuch is wanting Philip to teach him the gospel. So Philip, they start reading in Isaiah chapter 53 about the sufferings of Christ, not the sufferings of Mary. And so they pass by water. The eunuch says, "Behold, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Do you know what Philip said? "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." The eunuch said, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." Then he was baptized. See, he was saved by his confession of Jesus Christ. He believed it in his heart. He confessed it with his mouth. And he's saved. He was saved before he was baptized. Babies don't confess and don't believe in their heart. They're too young. You don't baptize infants, for crying out loud. There was some kind of garbage and nonsense in here about idols. In the Catholic Catechism, they actually, I'm not making this up. Let me find this for you. I'm stuck on this now. I'm not going to rest until I find it. There's an index. I get rid of the stupid plastic covering. Where is it here in this Catholic I bought this for $1. At the Goodwill store. I saved somebody from reading this garbage. Hang on here. Where would it be? Ten Commandments, maybe? QRSTTE. No. Tax evasion. There's a good one for Catholics. Holy water. That's a bunch of nonsense. Baptism of infants. I just covered that. But in here, they specifically, in the catechism, they omit the second commandment. Can you believe that? Here we go. Here it is. Did I see it? No. Wait a minute. Fourth commandment. Hey, I think I'm onto something here. Second commandment. Yeah. Uh-huh. You want to see this? Look in Exodus 20. I'm going to show you proof thereof of the absolute illegitimacy of the Roman Catholic Church. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, I am the Lord, verse 2, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's commandment number 1. Commandment number 2, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. That's commandment number 2. Commandment number three is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That's commandment number three. I want you to look here. I'm going to show it to you so you'll believe me. Those of you who are watching, the second commandment, article two, they have is, thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. They took it out. They took it out. They omitted the second commandment. Who has the right to take out a commandment of God? You say, well, doesn't that leave them with nine commandments? No, because I'm going to show you what they do. They take the 10th commandment, the 9th commandment, ye shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or his maidservant, or his ox, or his ass, or anything that is your neighbor's. That's the 9th commandment. The 10th commandment is, ye shall not covet anything that is your neighbor's. You want to see it? That's what they do. They take out the second commandment, and then they take the 10th commandment and divide it in two. So they still have 10 commandments. People of Kenya, listen to me. That Roman Catholic whore is lying through her teeth. Here she is. She violates the second commandment in having a house full of statues. And everybody bows before them and everybody prays to Saint Mary and Saint Joseph and Saint Elizabeth and Saint Thomas and Saint this and Saint Mother Teresa. Everybody bows before these idols. They violate the second commandment. And then when anybody questions, they open up the catechism and say, well, that's not it. That's not the commandment. That's not in there. They took it out. They took it out. Let me tell you what the Bible says about that. Revelation chapter 22. If any man shall take away from these words of the prophecy of this book, I will take his name out of the book of life. The Catholic Church and that priest is lying through their teeth. And the Catholic priest is hearing me say this on our radio station, and they're coming down to our office and they're saying, you need to get rid of that guy. And they're going, well, we can't. His church owns the station. Well, he needs to stop preaching that. He's not telling the truth. People, I just showed you the truth. You decide whether you're going to believe it or not. That's what's going on in our, Muslims being converted. Catholic Church hates our guts. Pastors wanting King James Bibles. Michael writes, more Muslims are visiting the stations with questions about the Bible and how they can get a copy. They're doing this with a lot of conviction because if anybody suspects that they're attempting to convert or listen to Christian material, they'll be convicted and possibly sentenced to death. Now, this is not a Kenyan law. This is Muslim law. See, the Muslims have their own little communities in Kenya where they have their own Sharia law. And doesn't matter what Kenyan law says, these Muslims will kill their own people for being caught listening to our radio station or asking for a Bible. Now, do we think that the Muslims pouring into our nation, establishing their own cliques, their own communities, do we think that they're going to act any less than they do in Kenya? No, they're going to have pockets of Sharia law, areas of their governance, their ownership. You people in London, you elected a Muslim mayor. What do you think's going to happen? You think he's going to be hard on terrorism? You think he's going to not support Sharia law in London? You're crazy. You're absolutely crazy for electing a Muslim mayor. Anyway, what else? Facing opposition from the Catholic Church. You know what they're trying to do? You see, when we first had the idea of establishing radio ministry in Kenya, God allowed my son-in-law to be smart. And he registered the name Watchman FM, Watchman Radio, in English and in Swahili. It's our copyright. We own that in Kenya. Watchman FM. It's just like NBC or, Spike TV or whatever. Spike TV, whoever owns Spike Network, owns that station name, Spike TV. We own Watchman FM. The Catholic Church is trying to set up a radio station in Samburu, in Turkana, and call it Watchman Radio in order to fool people into thinking that they are partnering with us or that they are us. They're trying this in Samburu, and now they're following us into Turkana. Why are they doing this? Not because of me. But it's what I showed you, what Chris Pinto has showed us. In the Catholic Bibles, in the American versions of the Catholic Bible, one that Chris Pinto found had a list of forbidden books. The King James Version of the Bible was at the top of the list. In the Catholic Bible that I found, I don't know if I have it here. Where did I put it? I know I tweeted it. They had an article on the history of the English Bibles, and their statement was concerning the King James. Even many Protestant scholars admit that there are serious errors in the translation of the King James Bible. In other words, don't read it. We don't want you to read it. We want you to think that it's a product of buffoonery, or it's a bunch of nonsense, or a bunch of egghead, second grade Bible scholars translated it who didn't know what they were doing. And so they got a bunch of the Bible wrong in the translation. We, however, as the Holy Roman Mother Harlot Church, we got everything right. That's what they want you to believe. And so I am pumped over this. I'm not kidding you. I am pumped over this. Now, I will tell you that, and Michael didn't tell me this until he got back to, he got back last night. He came in and told me this morning. He hid it from me. He said, Dad, while we were over there, every single day, devils were on us. Every single day. Those of you who have ever experienced devils climbing on you, they work in your emotions. They try to get you to scatter. They try to get you to leave. They try to get you to give up. Devils will punish God's people when they're doing right. That's, you read 1 Peter. Devils will punish you. They will get at you. They will try to get other people at you, or you will imagine that other people are at you. I mean, it's unreal. He said, Dad, that's what that happened every day. And even a couple times we kind of said, let's just shut this down and go home. Let's just quit and shut everything down and go home. And I said, that's what they wanted. That was the end game. I've experienced that in Kenya. These devils do not want God's people over there. And they'll suffer for it. And I have. And I know what that's like. It is hard to bear. It is hard to carry that through. But I said this Tuesday, God's people, listen to me. That scene from Captain America, where he's this little shrimp guy, and the big guy is always beating him up. little kid from Brooklyn. And he gets beat up all the time. And Captain Rogers jumps up and says, "Is that all you got? I can do this all day." And he's getting a snot beat out of him. And he gets back up. You see, a just man will fall 7 times. And you know what he does 7 times? He gets back up. And he says to the devil, "If I fall, I will rise again. If this is what you're going to do to me, that's fine. Go ahead and do it. I'm just telling you that when you're all done, don't expect me to keep laying down there for you. I'm going to get back up, and you're going to have it to do all over again. And one of these days, when the time is right, the God of heaven is going to bruise you under my feet shortly. And you're not going to like it." People, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. You live for God. If you're living for God and you find yourself in a situation right now where devils are walking all over you, get up and say to them, "I can do this all day. Is this all you got? Because greater is he that is in me than y'all that are in the world. And if you're going to punish me for serving God, you go ahead and punish me for serving God. But I'm still going to serve God at the end of the day. And there isn't anything that you can do about it. Purpose it in your heart. This is how it's going to be. If I lose this battle between me and the devil every single day, I still win." He doesn't understand. He does not understand that every day that I get beat up by the devil, I still win because I don't stop doing what God tells me to do. That's my encouragement to you. I am pumped over these stations, over what God has given to us. And I want to say to everybody listening, for those of you who have prayed for our ministry, and for me specifically, every day, I thank you from the very depths and the truthfulness of my heart. There are people who know me and don't pray for me every day. And you people do. And I want to tell you thank you from the bottom of my heart. Number two, if you have prayed and supported our work, our radio stations in Kenya, when you give anything, when you send that in with, let's say you get a monthly packet from us and you send us a gift or your tithe or your donation or whatever, that gets dispersed where it's needed. And we pay our bills usually, and it just works out, our bills in Kenya usually come up right at the first of the month. And we try to take care of that, and then we take care of everything else. God has not let us go broke. And for those of you who have helped us out do this, I want to say thank you to you. But you didn't do it for my thankfulness, which is why I'm thanking you to begin with. You didn't do it to get recognized, which is why I'm not reading a list of high rollers' names. The fact of it is, I don't know from 1 month to the next, who gives and who doesn't. I might see a name every now and then, but I don't pay attention to who sends what in. I don't want to know that. I don't want to treat anybody differently because they do or don't. But what I want to do is thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I would encourage you, ask God if you can keep it up. Ask God if you can help us, you can continue to support us. Ask if you have never given us anything. I'm not begrudging you. God is in charge of that. I don't have to get it from you. I'll just ask God for it. But ask God, "God, can I bless that radio station? Can I do this? Can I do that?" You leave that up to God, all right? And I'll leave it up to God. And I appreciate you. I love you. Thank God for you. I want you to turn your Bible to 1 Kings 22. And this portion of Pastor Mike Online is brought to you by my... somebody asked me, that is the coolest cup. Where'd you get that from? Silver Dollar City. Just west and south of Branson, Missouri. Silver Dollar City. That's their own pottery shop. They handmade that. And I love it. It's got... You know what it's got? See that little divot right there? It's got a divot right there. And that's where your thumb goes. So you can hold on to it. out of the graycoffee.com, saratogacrackers.com. If you have a business or a product you would like for me to mention for you, I'll do it free of charge. Okay. While you turn to 1 Kings 22, I have an article here. I was looking up the word soothsayer, what a soothsayer is, and I ended up at Wikipedia on an article for divination. It's from the Latin divinare, to foresee or to be inspired by a god. By a god. It's the word divination has the word divine in it, which means God, divinity. An attempt to gain insight into a question or situation by way of an occultic. The word occultic means a secretive method, not known. A standardized process or a ritual. Now, I've got some things here in my notes about rituals. And I'm going to be honest with you. I am not a fan of ritualism. I'm not. I don't care what church it is. I don't care what ministry it is. I don't care if they say, well, this is how we do spiritual warfare. We have a prescribed thing we read. We have these things that we say out loud. We have these words that we pray. And these words have been designed to blah, blah, blah. Who cares what your prayer words were designed for? It's not you that God is listening to begin with. He's listening to the Holy Ghost utter things for you in words that cannot be uttered. So he's listening. It doesn't matter how carefully and how specific your words are with God. You don't know what to pray to begin with. So when you've got people writing out prayer, now say this prayer. Now you need to pray this. Now you missed that word there. That word there. Yeah, say that word. If you don't say that word, now here's the right here. Get it? Right. And this is right. Our right is right. So let's do the right and do it right because it's right. And say that word there, because if you don't say that word, God will think you said something else. No, he won't. You have a Holy Ghost who is leading you in your prayer. When you pray, we know not what to pray. The Holy Ghost helpeth our infirmities with words that cannot be uttered, the Bible says. Groanings that cannot be uttered, the Bible says. So I'm not a fan of ritualism. And to say that you are getting some sort of revelation, unique revelation from God because of a ritual that you performed, I am highly suspicious that you're practicing a form of divination that reaches into and grabs hold of a familiar spirit. And the divining or the divination that you receive, the words of soothsaying that you give out to people, those are not words from God. Those are words from a familiar spirit. Saul is going to show us how it's done. But first, we're going to get a clue into the spiritual realm. We're going to see behind the scenes how devils work in a denomination, in a ministry, at a Bible college, at a camp meeting, a preacher's conference, a prophecy conference, a gospel program, a gospel show, a gospel music celebration. Can I keep going? What did I say? 1 Kings? Was I sure? 1 Kings 22? Yeah. Because Ahab wants to go to war. And King Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, is with him. And Ahab said, Jehoshaphat, won't you throw in with us and go to war? Because, you know, two's better than one, and you join us, and we'll put the evil people down, and we won't have that to worry about. I'll get all the spoils, of course, but at least you could say you were there. How's that? And Jehoshaphat's got just a little bit of God in him. And he's going, how can we be sure here that we're supposed to go to battle? And so if you look in 1 Kings 22, verse 6, then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men. Think about that number. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but there are a real gospel and a fake, phony gospel. That's also related to the number 4. Think of principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Think about another gospel, any other gospel, another gospel. 4 times Paul said it. 3 times in Galatians 1. The other time in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, I think it is. Another gospel. 400 of his prophets. You would think, well, I mean, they got 400 students in their Bible college. That must mean something. King of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. You lying, false gospel, building walls with untempered mortar, saying peace, peace, and there was no peace. And God said they have a covenant with hell and death, and they think nothing bad's going to happen to them. But you see, they're all called prophets, aren't they? Catholic Bible is called a Bible. So is the King James. Which one's right? They both have 4 books called Gospels. But then the Catholic Bible has, what, like 78 books in it? 80-some-odd books? King James only has 66. So which one's right? And so Jehoshaphat, like I said, has just a little bit of something with God in him. And he hears these guys, and he doesn't hear his shepherd's voice. It's like that church you went to, that good-for-nothing church. And the music's playing, and you're just not getting it. And there were books in the bookstore, you know, the place that you have to walk through before you go into the sanctuary. It's just like at an amusement park. When you get done with the ride, before and after the ride, they exit you out in a store of some kind. Give you a chance to buy something. And it just didn't sound right. And then you sat down and listened to the preacher for about 25 minutes. And it just didn't sound right. And it made you question, is this it? Because he said in verse 7, and Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? Ahab's like, this is our best Bible college right here. They have gone to Jezebel School of Prophecy. They've all taken Jezebel School 101, 102. They've studied all the major prophecy books. They have learned the secrets of the Hebrew letters. They're well-versed in the Kabbalah. This is the best that money can buy right here. This new load of prophets is about ready to go out to the churches and the synagogues all over the country and take over for the old pastors who were running out in droves. Isn't that what you saw? You were at a church. The church had a pastor that was somewhat solid. He left either because he was sick, or he died, or he retired, or he's church jumping because this church didn't give him the salary raise that he wanted, so he left it to go somewhere else. So they got in a new guy, or the pastor started getting into pornography and he started committing adultery with about half the women in the church, or he ended up in prison, any number of things. But they got him out of the way. And so now one of the Bible college boys is going to make it into that church, and he's going to transition that church into the new way of doing things, because he went to he went and heard Brian McLaren at the Paradigm Shift Conference. And he went and heard Rick Warren, and he's got all of Leonard Sweet's books. And he now believes in the cosmic Shekinah, the cosmic Christ. He's going to lead this church into they're going to be organic now. They're going to be organic. They're going to be a traditional church. They're going to be, what are some of the other phrases for it? In other words, a Mystery Babylon daughter harlot church. Verse 8, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither, Micaiah the son of Imlah, that idiot. And, well, he didn't say that, but I'm sure he wanted to. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenanah, made him horns of iron. And he said, thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the... I'm sure he looks neat. See this? With these, that you're going to push the Assyrians back. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. He looks like an idiot wearing iron horns on his head. It's a gimmick. Iron horns always make me think of Iron Kingdom, people. It would be interesting to try to get some discernment on what the iron horns are today. What is it that is being prophesied to the churches that is going to compel them into the fourth kingdom? Because that's what I think this is about. Verse 12, and all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. Prosper. There's a word for you. Everything is about prospering. Oh, you're going to be prosperous, king. Oh, you listen, you go up to Ramoth-Gilead, you're going to have your best life now. Okay? And you get a free copy of the book once you get there. The messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. You know, I've had that kind of pressure put on me. Mike, just say what all the other preachers are saying. Mike, just read their books and go to their seminars and just go along with what everybody else is doing. Don't buck the tide. Don't try to go against it. Just whatever they're saying, you say. And we'll fill your church up. We'll get some people in. They're big tithers. You get them in, you pacify them real good, you speak well, you speak nice things to them, and you'll be fine. And that's what he just told Micaiah to do. Micaiah, see, hear what these guys said? You better say what they said. You want to live? You know what's good for you and your family? You better do what they do. People, you are going to be intimidated by friends, family members, church members. You're going to be intimidated and coerced into going along with what the church is going along with. And we don't have to use the King James here anymore. Why, nobody in this church uses it except for you. So why don't you just put that thing away and just go along with whatever verses are up on the screen and quit making such a big deal about this Bible issue? Can I tell you something? In case you haven't noticed me, the Bible issue, it's the only one that I've got. It's the only real issue that there is. And if you just want me to say what everybody else is saying out on YouTube, I'm not doing it. I could say, well, you know, that's fine. Let me close my Bible for a minute. Let me destroy all my papers, get rid of all my notes. And boy, I saw a bunch of YouTube videos about the Vegas shooting. I'll just parrot what they said or come up with my own stuff and get a lot more views on YouTube. Because obviously, the hype setters out there are getting way more views on YouTube and Facebook than I am. And I'm not jealous. I'm not angry that I'm not getting the views that everybody else is. But what I'm saying is, I'm going to stick with the Bible and say what the Bible says. And if that's not popular, I can't help it, because that's all I've got. And I can't just start mixing in lies and mixing in hype and mixing in questionable conspiracy theories just to get attention. Micaiah didn't. So in verse 14, Micaiah said, "As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak." And people, settle it in your mind that no matter what intimidation you get from whatever group, whatever person, whoever it is, you just settled it in your mind that whatever God says, that's what I'm going to say. Somebody called me this morning, and they said, it was just a great conversation, by the way. We wouldn't, in any kind of argument about the end times or anything. They said, "I've been listening to some of your videos, listening to your thing about the rapture." And he said, "Let me just ask you," he said, are you saying that the seventh trumpet in the book of Revelation is when you think Christ is going to gather his saints?" I said, "I do not have any reason whatsoever to believe that the last trump mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15 is anything other than the seventh trumpet, which is the last trump ever in the Bible anywhere." And I said, "So I guess that's what I'm saying. Now, do I have all the I's dotted and T's crossed on that, and I got everything figured out after that? No, but I'm just saying, I know for a fact that the Lord is coming at the last trump. And I'm sticking with that. I cannot say and go beyond what the Lord has said. I'm not allowed to. That's why I won't wear the hat. So in verse 15, "So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Now, you got to understand, he's not saying this seriously. I don't see him saying this any serious fashion, because watch what happened. Verse 16, and the king said, and how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And he said, now he's going to say what he saw. You look at verse 17, this is what's going on. And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills. Uh-oh, that's not prosperity. As sheep that have not a shepherd. That's not your best life now. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would not prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. Now you underline this passage in your Bible. In fact, I've never done it here, so I'm going to do it now. Verse 19, starting verse 19, your eyes are fixing to be open here. This is what's going on in all the churches, in all the ministries that have walked away from the Bible. And when I say Bible, I'm not referring to the English Standard Version. When I say Bible, I'm not talking about the NIV Bible. I say Bible, I mean King James Bible. Here's what they're doing. And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? God had it in his mind that Ahab was going the next day and was going to die at Ramoth-Gilead. And God was saying, all I need is somebody to push him up there. One said on this manner and another said on that manner. He's talking to spirits. One spirit said, hey, why don't we do this? Another spirit said, hey, why don't we do that? There came forth a spirit, verse 21, and stood before the Lord and said, I'll persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets. Folks, I want you to get this picture. How many of the prophets are on the wrong side? All of them except one. All these fake Bibles, all these fake Bible colleges, all these seminaries, all these denominations, these churches, these ministries that are using other Bibles, all of them are on the wrong side. Just because it's popular doesn't mean that it's right. Just because all the churches are using it, just because all the radio, Christian radio programs are using it, just because that's what you hear in all the Christian movies, just because that's what you hear at all the Christian museums and all the Christian ministry headquarters and all the Christian literature, doesn't mean they're right. In fact, according to this, there's more that's going to be wrong than there is that's going to be right. One man. One Bible. Standing all by himself with the absolute truth versus 400 liars. And how did it get that way? A spirit went into the mouths of these men. And the words that came out of their mouth did not come from them. It came from this one spirit. 400 men with one spirit, all saying the same thing. Sure, Go up at Ramoth Gilead tomorrow. God's delivered it in your hands. Boy, how rich you're going to be then. Why, you could have 100 wives after that. Now, let's go to Saul. If you remember, Saul started out well. He started out prophesying. Samuel showed him the word of God. Saul looks like he's prophesying. He's went to Bible college. He got his degree. And he knows as much about the the Greek text and the Hebrew manuscripts. And he knows all the rules that were taught to him at the Bible college. And he's just like everybody else. But now, because of his pride or his lust or whatever it was, he willfully and blatantly and openly disobeyed the word of God. Not once, but twice. And the second time, first time he did it, he was warned. Second time he did it, Samuel went to him and said, this is 1 Samuel 13. No. 1 Samuel 15 is where we want to be. Verse 18. The Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. He should have never said that. But the people took the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. Yeah, they disobeyed God, but they did it for God. Something that no Christian ever said. Yeah, I disobeyed God, but I disobeyed God for God. In verse 22, and I want you to open your Bible. I want you to underline this. I want you to, if you have your Pure Bible Search software opened up, do some highlighting here. And Samuel said, hath the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And might I suggest to you, that we are living in the days where God has rejected whole denominations, where God has rejected churches, God has rejected ministries, God has rejected pastors, God has rejected authors, Christian authors, seminaries, radio stations, radio networks, TV networks, TBN, Sky Angel, Three Angels Broadcasting Network, all these satellite stuff, Arnold Murray, Shepherd's Chapel. It just seems like if you're a false prophet, you've got two things. A lot of money and airtime on Christian satellite TV stations. Seems like the two go hand in hand. And you know what? They can keep them, as far as I'm concerned. Now we have churches. Now we have denominations. Now we have pastors that have rejected the word of the Lord, the King James Version of the Bible. They've rejected the line of manuscripts that Bible comes from, the Textus Receptus. They have chosen to favor the Sinaiticus and the Vaticanus, and the Alexandrinus, manuscripts which have discrepancies with each other into the multiple thousands of discrepancies between them. It's like the two witnesses that testified against Jesus. The Bible said their witness agreed not with each other. Just in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, between the Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus documents, you have over 3,000 textual disagreements. In other words, one verse says one thing in the Greek text in, let's say, Luke chapter 8, and that same verse in the Vaticanus, Sinaiticus here, Vaticanus here, this verse in the Sinaiticus says something completely different than the same verse in the Vaticanus. They don't even agree as to what lie they're going to tell. And that's what you have. You have the false prophets' world is so splintered, they don't even agree as to what lies they're going to tell. But they're telling them nonetheless. And people are falling for them. At one time, I was in their court, ready to fall with them, ready to go after the new Bibles, ready to go after dumbed down preaching, not wanting to preach hell, not wanting to preach anything negative, wanting to give people positive thoughts and positive attitudes and preach happy messages where everybody would like me and everybody would be happy. But instead, I take a stand on issues and say things and people get upset and leave. That's the cost of telling the truth. You have to do it in love, but it's the cost of doing it. And so what has happened is that an evil spirit has entered in to the denominational headquarters. And evils, the Holy Spirit, 1 Samuel 16:14, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. You know, you find that, 1 Samuel 16:14, you find that, you underline that. The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And an evil spirit troubled him. And in 1 Samuel 18:12, Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. There's another witness right there. And you know what? Saul wanted nothing to do with David. And folks, get ready. Get ready to be very lonely. Get ready for that. I know it's not easy. I know it's not. I'm going to go off script here, and I'm going to encourage you with something the Lord encouraged me with this morning. From time to time, I try to get close to people. And you say, well, Pat, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, everybody needs, you know, close companions and so on. Yeah, you're right. But I can have friends. I just can't have very many close friends. And one of the reasons is, if I have very, very close friends, my nature is that I will favor them even if I am wrong. Even if they're doing something wrong, I'll favor them. And that's just, I'm just telling you my nature. I'll get too close to people, and if they're doing something wrong, I'll overlook it. I won't say anything. I'll just want to be a buddy, and so on and so on. And you get in trouble that way. And so, I get lonely because I can't make close friends in this world like other people can. Because I have to say things to people, and I have to say things from behind the pulpit, and if I know they're sitting there, I don't want to say them. Because I don't want to hurt them and hurt a friendship. I've had it happen. How many times? And some of you out there, you're lonely too. I know you are. Let me read Micah chapter 7. In verse 4, he says, "The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh, now shall be their perplexity." Look at verse 5, Micah chapter 7. "Trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom." Connection got severed again. I wonder why. Happens. Okay. So verse 7. "Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in the darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her which said unto me, Where is the Lord thy God? Mine eyes shall behold her. Now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets." And I've learned that if you're going to live right and do right and do it with the right attitude, not with a cocky, arrogant attitude, but with the right, humble heart, you're going to lose friends. Your own family members are going to persecute you. Things that, listen to me now, things that you tell in confidence, "Trust ye not in a friend, put ye not confidence in a guide, keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom." You end up telling things to people in confidence, and all of a sudden, these people are not your best friends anymore, and you know what it does? You're scared to death now that they're going to go blabbing their mouth to everybody they know. I've had that happen, and it'll happen again. So the older I get, the less things that I tell people about me. And I just tell them to God and God alone, because he's the one that I trust. At the end of the day, God is going to be true and every man is going to be a liar. And so if you're alone out there, and you're serving God, you're not alone. Trust the Lord. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation, for my God will hear me. Look at verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn to get, see, this is the people that you did confide in, and now they're mad at you, and now they're turning against you, and now they're getting all judgmental on you, and all you sinned, and all you, did you hear what so-and-so did? They did this, and they did that, and they call themselves Christians, and I tell you what, I just don't think they are, and blah, blah, blah. That's man. Man will do that to you every time. God is the one who, you will be hard-pressed to find a human being who actually delights in having mercy on people. But God does it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. God does it all day long. He delights in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. Thou wilt cast us all, thou wilt cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. That's God. So, you know what? It is better to have nobody in your life that you can trust and confide in, and yet you have God, than it is for you to have 1,000 friends and be compromised by them and be constantly under them and afraid that if you don't retain their friendship, that they're going to go turn on you and tell everything they know about you. I'll tell you what, that Bible is right. It's got it. I mean, I read that today and I said, God, I absolutely needed to hear that today. So if you're out there and you're serving God and you're alone, and you know that God's with you, you praise the Lord for it. You're not ever alone. I promise you, you're not ever alone. But anyway, Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. The people that are in your family, that were your friends, that were in the church that you used to go to, they were in the denomination, they're scared to death of you. That's why they don't want you around anymore. That's why that Catholic priest keeps showing up at our radio station in Kenya. It's not anger that's driving him, it's fear. He knows that from our radio station, we're going to be preaching King James Bible, and the Catholic Church is a whore, and it's damage control. They can't have people hearing that. Well, that'll cause people to leave our church, and that's their power game that they have over people. Name one thing that the Catholic Church says is necessary for your salvation that is performed outside of the church building. No. They got to do it right there inside that church building. Bunch of witchcraft harlots. They're afraid of us. They don't want you. This is why Rick Warren in the Purpose Driven Church told the pastors, when the old people start rising up and say, this is not the way we used to do it back in the 30s. He said, you run them out. You'd be better off running them off than you would to keep them, because they're never going to go along with the program. Drive them out. Why? Fear. You won't get the program done if the old people are still there. So you better just run them out. They are scared of us. Why? Because the Lord is with us and he's not with them. Remember this, people. Remember this. You have either already experienced this or you're headed into it. Now, let me read scripture about what's going on today. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That's what Micaiah revealed to everybody. That's the closet that he opened up where all the skeletons were. He said, let me show you what's going on behind the scenes here, Jehoshaphat. There was a conclave in heaven. And all these spirits were, God said, who's going to deliver up Ahab tomorrow? One spirit said this, another spirit said that, another spirit said, I'll do it. God said, how? Wherewith? How? He said, I'll go be a lying spirit. He said, I'll get them, I'll start in their Bible college. I'll get them to start questioning the Bible and the Word of God from the Bible college level, that by the time they graduate out and have written their thesis and they get out to the churches, they're going to have those churches so messed up in 20 years, they will not be recognizable. I will go and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of their prophets. And God said, you got the job. Go do it and be done before dinner. I got something else I want you to do. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. If it's not, listen to me, people. If it's not in the Bible, it's a doctrine of what? I'm going to say this and I'm going to say it in love. And some people are going to get at me and they're not going to like it. You did not read in the Bible the doctrine of a flat pancake earth. You didn't read that in the Bible. A stationary earth, that's different. That is, from what I can see, it's in the Bible. But I have read websites, I've watched the videos, I've seen the boast where they said, we got 100% positive biblical proof that the Bible teaches a flat earth. And I read all their verses. Never saw it. I didn't see it one time. People, there's a setup going on. There is a strong delusion that God has planned. And from what I can see, things like the Mandela effect, that's like the weakest delusion that I've ever heard of in my life. And yet people are falling for it. Why? That's not in the Bible. There's nothing of the sort like that in the Bible. You did not get that from the Bible. You got it from someplace else. Where? If it's not in the Bible, if the doctrine is not stated word for word in the King James Bible, where did it come from? A seducing spirit and doctrines of devils. Period. People say, well, not everything's in the Bible. And I've had people admit to me, that's right, it's not in the Bible. It's in the book of Enoch, which it should be in the Bible. There you go. There you go. Now you're being honest. Now you're telling me that you did not get it from the Bible. You got it from a book that was never written by Enoch. Never. There is no book in existence that has the handwriting of Enoch. Not even a copy of a book. Jude did not say that Enoch wrote what he said. He said he said it. The Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. He said Enoch said that. He didn't say he wrote it down. I fell for that at one point. I used to believe that book of Enoch lie. And I don't believe it no more. God delivered me out of that nonsense. And he ought to deliver you from it too. Why don't you just, I'm begging you, please quit watching YouTube 8-10 hours a day, every day. Why don't you get your Bible out and read it? Instead of reading what somebody tells you the Bible says. And it's not saying that. Doctrines of devils. Hebrews 3:12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Two verses here. So far, both of them are telling you that people depart. These people, 1 Timothy 4:1, they shall depart from the faith. What does that tell you? Where's faith coming from? Does faith come from YouTube? Does faith come from Facebook? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Not Perry Stone, not Mike Hoggard, not Facebook, not YouTube. It comes from the Word of God, period. And what's happening is people are departing from the faith. When you depart from the Word of God and start putting your faith in what others are saying or in something other than what is expressly written in the Word of God, expressly stated. Let me read that again. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. It is plainly stated. Ask the question. Where's the doctrine of the Trinity? Well, that's 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. See, that's plainly stated, plainly written. It's not an extrapolation of what that verse says. It is what that verse says. That's what I mean by plainly written. And if it's not plainly written, don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. People are departing from the faith when they start walking away from what the words of God say. And they start putting their faith and their confidence in some man or some theory or some YouTube video or some Facebook or meme. I don't know. Some people call them memes. I call it a meme. I don't know. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. 1 Chronicles 10:13. So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord. Turn to 1 Chronicles 10:13 and underline this in your Bible. This is how serious this is. This is why my heart is so revved up. This is why my voice elevates. I'm very zealous for this. My Bible means, my Bible lifted me up. My Bible has pulled me out of the darkest pits that you can ever imagine a person being in. And I'll never, never talk about some of the depths that I've been in. So dark and evil. I can't even talk about it. And it was the words of my Bible that reached down and pulled me out of the worst places anybody could ever be and saved my life. And if it can do that for me, trust me, that Bible could have saved Saul. That Bible would have saved Saul. Saul would be in heaven right now. Saul wouldn't have killed himself had he not rejected the words of the Lord. But he did. 1 Chronicles 10:13. So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not. And also for asking the counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. Hebrews 3:19. So we see then that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Unbelief of what? The Bible, the Word of God, the words of the Lord, King James. Hebrews 4:6, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Hebrews 4:11, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, I'm not going to keep dredging this issue up, but I'm going to say this in love to those who have been, who you've been talked into believing that the earth is flat. I'm not questioning that the earth is stationary. I'm saying to those of you who believed, who have been talked into believing that the earth is a flat surface, and the sun spins around parallel to the surface of the entire flat earth. I'm going to ask you, and this is not an accusation, I'm asking you to examine. You say you believe the Bible. You say you believe every word of it. And you say you believe the Bible for exactly what it says. Then my challenge to you is, will you accept belief in what the Bible says about the sun's movements pertaining to it rising up and going down? Not appearing to, because that's not what it says. You stick to the words of exactly what it says. Not an illusion that it does. Not that it we perceive it that it does. That is not what it says. The Bible, see, my rejection of the whole pancake earth theory is based upon this one thing, that the sun rises up and goes in the direction of down. I'm asking you, do you believe the Bible? Will you believe what those verses say? Will you believe them? Hebrews 4:6, seeing therefore remaineth, I already read that. Hebrews 4:11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, I'm not just going to pick on the flat earth people. I'm going after some much heavier deceit here in a minute. John 15:5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. The moment that you as the branch depart from the vine is Christ, the vine is his word also. Because he is the one that said it in John 15. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. You see, they're one and the same, aren't they? The moment you sever yourself from abiding in the words that are in your Bible, the words that are in your Bible, you're going to wither. And some of you, you're withering right now. Maybe there's hope that before you are completely withered away, somebody could rescue you and you could be grafted back in and start receiving of the nourishment and the DNA and bring forth fruit pleasing unto your Father. Maybe some of you out there can credit the work, God's work through this ministry for putting you back on the vine where you belong, like God did for me. I was off the vine and withering. and was in bad shape. And God, in his tender mercy, reached down and put me back on the vine where I belong. And I'm receiving of the nourishment and the water and the blessing and the DNA of Jesus Christ through the Word of God. Hoping that my life can be worthy enough to bring forth the fruit of God, to bear the fruit that God brings forth in my life. That's how I'll say it. So here are the churches now. Remember that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Saul rebelled. Witchcraft. Let's put it like this, and I've been speaking this whole time, but let me just kind of narrow it down here on some key issues of what constitutes, what happens. I mean, let's say that this is First Baptist Church, or let's say this is First General Baptist Church, First Free Will Baptist Church, First Nazarene Church, First Pentecostal Church of God in Christ, Agape Faith Love Holiness with Fire and Signs Following Church, any of them. And the old pastor they had was an old-time, old-fashioned Bible preacher and Bible teacher, and was old school and kept the Word of God in that church, preached out of it. Now, he may have had an issue with a word here or there, but he always read it, and his people always had a King James, and God always honors the presence of his word, and so God blessed them. People got saved. But then, new guy comes in. Now he's Bible college. He doesn't know about all the revivals that used to have. He doesn't know that the old preacher used to pray and weep and fast over the old King James Bible. Didn't know all that stuff. He's been Bible college trained in the new way. So now he has brought in a fake Bible to that church. Doesn't even own a King James. Brought a fake Bible into that church. After about 5 years, he successfully got that church transitioned over to the fake Bible that he's using. So he has rejected the word of the Lord. And for that, God has taken his spirit out of that church, and an evil spirit came into that church. Let me read that verse. Where is it? Where did it go? That's not kept a commandment, okay? Anyway, you know which one I'm talking about. An evil spirit. Yeah, here we go. But the Spirit of the Lord, 1 Samuel 16:14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and the evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. So now we have a church. And so the Spirit of the Lord departed from First Baptist Church, First Free Will Baptist Church, First Nazarene Church. The Spirit of the Lord departed from First Pentecostal Church, and an evil spirit from the Lord came into that church. Why? No Bible. No Bible. No King James Bible. The Message Bible, New American Standard Bible, NIV Bible, English Standard Bible, Revised Standard Bible, the collected works of Josephus and St. Augustine and Mahatma Gandhi and whoever else, and who cares? Anything except the King James Bible. Now in that church, the Spirit of the Lord has left that church, and an evil spirit is in that church. Here's what you're going to have. You're going to have unknown tongues. Gibberish. Absolute gibberish. From spirits. From a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. Remember that? Deuteronomy 28. The curse for them not keeping the commandments of the Lord was that God was going to send to them a nation as swift as an eagle. A nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. And now you've got people in that church who are under the influence of a spirit that speaks in a language that nobody understands. That is not, people, it is not the Holy Ghost of God. When the Holy Ghost speaks, we understand it. Don't give me that, well, that's her prayer language. Don't give me that nonsense. I don't buy it. When the Holy Ghost speaks to you, you know it and you understand it. When you're reading the King, 66 decorations on the 7 candlesticks in the tabernacle. That tells you that the light of God, the Holy Ghost, and the 7 spirits of God are going to come to you from the 66 books of your Bible. When God speaks, everybody understands it. My goodness, you look in the Bible. Every conversation, people say, well, I'm using angelic prayer language. That's the angel language. Every time I see an angel talking in the Bible, I know exactly what they're saying. So you tell me where there was an encounter with an angel in the Bible and people understood what, people did not understand what they were saying. I'm telling you, there is a nation, a very evil presence, a very evil spirit, or a group of spirits that when they're talking out of these people, it's a tongue that nobody understands. That's not God's spirit. That's what happens when you walk away from the King James Bible. Evil spirit from the God takes his spirit out, evil spirit from the Lord comes in. Slain in the spirit. Slain in the spirit. What is that? Slain means murder. And a guy comes around and he strikes you on the head like David struck Goliath. Like J.L. Heber's wife smote Sisera. You know, she smote him in the forehead. In the temples. Right here. Soft spot. Drilled him through, right through his skull. Fastened him to the ground by his skull. That's disgusting. She did it while the milk was still in his mouth. Slain in the spirit. Murdered. You're spiritually dead. It's Shakti Pat. It is the reception of an evil spirit named Shakti, who is the consort of Shiva, and you now have an occult illumination, an awareness. Many people who say that when they got slain in the spirit, they had a new illumination and a new, like an enlightenment that they never had before. People, watch out for that. The only enlightenment that I'm aware of from God comes when I am reading, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's the only enlightenment that I am aware of that comes from the Holy Spirit of God. Not slain in the spirit. Invocations of God. Now we'll pray the prayer of invocation. What is that? If we say these words right, then we will invoke God's presence. Really? Is that all it takes? You got to say these words that are on this paper? If we all, everybody please open their prayer books and we're going to recite prayer number 32A. Everybody say it with me. Let's repeat these words together. This is our prayer of invocation of God. Don't give me that stuff. I told you, I am not into performing rites or rituals. I'm not. Now, I'm not. Let's just do whatever we want to. I believe that there must let all things be done decently and in order. And I'm not even opposed to a church who lays out a service and an order of service. I'm not opposed to that. As long as if the Spirit leads at a certain point, you're willing to break from what's in the bulletin and go where the Spirit leads. I've done that before. I think there ought to be order in a service. But this idea that we are praying now, this invocation prayer, thereby when we say these words, God must come down and meet us and be in our presence, I don't go for that stuff. Beth Moore and countless others leading people into more ritualistic forms of invocation, whereby she did this. I've got the video clip. She had everybody in this big auditorium. You people face north. Now you people face south. And she had people facing the four cardinal directions. And she said, now we're going to call unto God from these four directions and have God meet us here. I've seen witchcraft rituals. I know how they work. That's one of them. Deliverance ministries. So-called deliverance ministries, where they're all about invoking God or supposedly delivering somebody from having a bad attitude all the time. So we got to say these prayers. Now we're going to anoint you. Now we're going to do this, and now we're going to say this, and now we have to name the spirit that we want cast out of you, and we're going to cast it. I don't go for that stuff. Praying to idols. Praying to statues, praying to having amulets, good luck charms, fire tunnels, fire baptisms, grave sucking. These are all things that the Bethel Redding Church crowd does. They have fire tunnels. They will have people stand facing each other in a long line, and they'll have new converts passing. They're passing their children through the fire, people. Good grief. They call it a fire tunnel. Oh, we're passing you through the fire. When you come out, you're going to be changed. Yeah, you'd be a piece of sausage or something. A black hot dog fell in the fireplace. They're passing their children through the fire. Spirits. You know what spirits are made of? According to the Bible, fire. That's what they're made of. Now, I don't understand that. But that's their substance. Just like the substance of me is flesh and blood, their substance is fire. Fire baptisms. Preachers going around touching people, and literally you hear them scream in agony because there's so much, they feel like their hands are literally on fire and it's causing them such pain that they're crying out and they're going, "Ooh, that's the Holy Ghost right there. Oh, bless God." Repetitions in prayer and or song services. Taking the praise and worship music and repeating four or five words over and over and over. And I've been in one of those services, people. And I'm telling you, it's a spirit that takes people's hearts away. Various forms of unbiblical prayer, like contemplative prayer. Or meditative practices, whereby you turn your mind into a void. There is the absence of thought patterns going through your mind. And they tell you that that's where God is in that stillness. God is in that silence. That's like the white fire in the Kabbalah that Jim Staley talked about. It's the white part of the paper where there's nothing written on it. These people will tell you that they feel like that there's more knowledge of God in the white part on the parchment where nothing is written than there is where the writing is. That's a bunch of garbage. The void. You know what the void is? It's the pit. It's hell. Where Job said, where there a place where there is no order. That's where they're telling you God is. And that's what they want you to turn your mind into. Leading people into repetitious prayer. So they go into a, like an alpha state of unconsciousness or subconsciousness. It's close to being hypnotized. prayer labyrinths, walking this labyrinth, so you can get to the center point, which is basically a picture of the bottomless pit. And they're saying, no, God's here at the center point. That's the beast. Hebrew roots, the sacred name people. If you say Jesus, they say, if you say Jesus, you're calling God a pagan fake name. You must say it in Hebrew. He has a Hebrew name, and God wants you to say his. Now, in 66 books of the Bible, 1,189 chapters of the Bible, you would think that if this was so important that it had to be done this way, surely one of the prophets or apostles from God would have written it in the Bible. And yet, it's not there anywhere. There is no proscription whatsoever in the scriptures that declares we must speak God's name in the original Hebrew tongue, or God will not hear our prayer, or you just won't get as many blessings and toys as I will. Folks, that's the whole, you know, when the Holy Spirit is really present, is when you can bawl your eyes out and cry out to God and ask God for help and don't even know what to ask him. And God shows up and does far greater than you can have ever imagined. And you know what? There's liberty there, freedom. The bondage is in the fact that if you don't say God's name just exactly right, with the right accent and the right vowels in the right places, then God can't hear your prayers. People, it's bondage. In that Hebrew Old Testament that God gave to those prophets of old when they wrote it down, you know what they wrote down? Yod, Hey, Vah, Hey. And yet the sacred name people are trying to convince people that if you don't say the vowels just right, you're not gonna get to talk to God. Now, if God wanted those vowels pronounced exactly perfectly his way, he would have put them in the text of the Hebrew Old Testament, but he left them out. And if God left them out, he did it for a reason. And by the way, do you know what Yod, Hey, Vah, Hey translates to? Lord. You know how I know that? Because every single time the New Testament is quoting from the Old Testament, and the Old Testament has the Yod, Hey, Vah, Hey in it, the New Testament men, holy men of God, speaking as they were moved by the Holy Ghost told Peter, told Paul, told Matthew, that Yod, Hey, Vah, Hey means the Lord. Because that's what they wrote in Greek. Ta Kyria, the Lord. Sacred name is witchcraft. You cannot be a sacred name believer and believe in every word in the King James Bible. Now, there's somebody out there who runs a ministry who tells people that he is still King James only. And I have serious doubts, because he has spoken many times and written articles saying, I believe you must speak God's name in the original Hebrew. You must say Yahashua or Yahuwah or however. They don't even agree how they pronounce it. And I have serious reservations as to whether this guy really does believe that every word in the King James Version of the Bible is true. But what happens is they reject the word of the Lord. Therefore, God takes and removes His Spirit from them. And now these people have been turned over to believe in seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It's that simple. Divination. Pat Robertson going, oh, there's somebody in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that's got a bad back. God's healing that back right now. There's somebody in Spokane, Washington right now. Your house burnt down a year ago. God's going to restore that house. God's going to heal that. That house is being healed right now in Jesus' name. People, that's fake. That's a put on. That is right at the end of the show, just before Charles is going to come on and tell you what this week's latest offer is and how you can be partners in our ministry. Maybe Pat will prophesy over you. It's fake words of knowledge. People who claim that their visions and their dreams and their private revelations or their private knowledge about something God is telling them, it does not come from the Scriptures, or it circumvents the Scriptures. They went around the Bible to get to have God tell them something that's not in the Bible. That is evidence, people. I'm giving you evidence that these people have rejected the word of the Lord. Therefore, God has rejected them. God has taken away His Holy Spirit from them and given them a seducing spirit, taught them doctrines of devils. A lying spirit has entered into their mouth and is causing them to lie about God. When in reality, they could just read Bible verses and say to you, you need to believe what the Bible says. But they don't do that. They don't do that. They've got all these other things. Now, I'm going to bring up one more thing. Divination. You know what that is? It's, you know, oh, I'm getting something for God. Like reading tea leaves. Oh, look here. These tea things are pointing like this, and they're doing, one of them standing up there in a corner, and the spirits are causing this, and the spirits are telling me that your life is going to do this. Or let me read your palm here. You ever had your palm read? Why, no. Now your palm's read. Anyway. Cartomancy. You know what that is? Laying out cards on a table and saying, ah, see these? This right here? See the Joker there? See that right there? That means that's going to happen. You're going to get money here, and you're going to marry here, and you got a catastrophe waiting here. See, the cards have all laid it out. There's big noise on YouTube right now about the Illuminati card game from 1996. Steven Jackson Games. These guys came up with this as a joke. Now, I will say that some of it looks interesting. But let me just tell you something from my heart about putting too much confidence in this Illuminati card game. Just because some of those cards match what looks like there's a match to something that happened in America or has occurred, like there's a Twin Towers and they're kind of falling down. The latest thing is that the Las Vegas card in the Illuminati card game had a jack and an ace. The jack is the number 10. The ace could be 1. And they're saying 10-1. And that happened on 10-1. And then that country music singer had a jack and an ace of spades tattooed on his arm. And one guy, I watched one guy today, and he said that country music singer, he knew it was going to happen. I got 100% proof. He knew it was going to happen. Now, he's basing his whole prophesying and his whole ministry, whatever it is, on cartomancy, divination. The truth of it is, the Steven Jackson Illuminati card game does not and will not successfully predict, and people have used it. Do you remember in the 2012 Olympics? Everybody on YouTube was making a video saying that the Illuminati card game was going to happen at the 2012 Olympics and London was going to explode and the Tower of London was going to fall down. Big Ben was going to fall, was going to kill 47,000 people. Do you remember that? It didn't happen, did it? According to Deuteronomy 18, if a prophet gives a sign or a wonder, and that sign or a wonder does not come to pass, you are not to fear that prophet. He lied. The people, I know the devil makes plans. I know the devil will use symbols in those plans. Do not make the mistake or fall into this idea that everything that can be known of the future is going to be found in the Illuminati card game or tarot cards or anything like that. Don't fall for it. Spend your time reading. If you want to know what's going to happen, quit educating. This guy said he spent 5 hours researching this. Really? How much time did you spend reading the Bible? Because he didn't present any scriptures. And I watched this whole video. No scriptures. Now, I'm not bragging on myself and saying, see, I'm doing this. And I'm not comparing myself to him. What I'm telling you is, if you want to know what's going to happen, read your Bible. Place that word of God in your heart. If you find yourself in a place where you have been spending all your time researching this and researching the Illuminati and researching the Illuminati's plans and researching Albert Pike and researching all these things, and when's the last time you read your Bible? I would start to get worried. People, some are departing from the faith. I don't want you to. I don't want you to depart from the faith. I don't want you to believe that the woman at Endor brought up the real Samuel. I don't want you to fall for that. I don't want you to fall for a witch or a false prophet telling you this is Jesus and it's not Jesus. I don't want that for you. There's better things for you to do, a better way for you to prophesy, better things for you to share on your Facebook page. Right? People are departing from the faith right now. They're departing from the Bible, people. Now's not the time to join them. Now's the time to stand. Stand alone. But stand nonetheless. For the King James Bible and the Word of God. See you Sunday, Prophecy Roadshow next week, Delphi, Indiana, October 16th, 17th, 18th. I am pumped for this thing. I am ready. We're going to live stream it. We're going to try to live stream it. Hope you can join us. I love you. You believe me. I do. Okay? And if you're in a pit today, you're in a bad place, I'm going to pray God bring you out of it. All right? Love you.